Okay, God bless everybody. Good to be on the conference call tonight with you all. I'm in Kansas City, so we're not far from Barney and Vicki, and I know we're spread all over the country. And thank you, Barney, for the privilege of being able to share a little bit of God's word tonight. And I just love it. These conference calls with Wally teaching and Barney and others, it's just right from the heart. It just blesses me to no end. Tonight I want to share in manifestations we heard be fearless, and then another one was know who we are. That's straight from God. And so tonight we're going to touch on some of that. I don't know if you're fans of golf or not, but I'll try to distill this down a little bit because it's a kind of an interesting analogy. And it came from a movie by Chase, Chevy Chase called Caddyshack. And, they're playing golf in the movie, and Chevy's character hits a ball with his blindfold on, and he goes into this be the ball thing. And so a number of years later, I was reading an article by a sports journalist, and he was using the same analogy. And I thought it was kind of interesting. Hopefully it'll paint a nice segue here to what I was going to share. And between the years of 1997 and 2019, Tiger Woods won 5 Masters tournaments, 4 PGA championships, 3 U.S. Opens, and 3 British Opens. That's a whole lot of winning. In a follow-up article about one of his latest victories, a sports journalist wrote, "In order to really appreciate Tiger's golf game, you have to be the ball." What he meant is that you have to take the identity of Tiger Woods' golf ball virtually, like using one of those meta masks, and then be the ball that way. It's a figure of speech called personification. So when Tiger hits a perfect 350-yard drive, you would be the ball flying through the air past any obstacles like trees and sand traps and eventually landing in the middle of the fairway. And I play a little golf, and that's my ball would not be seeing those scenes. But anyway, and when Tiger hit a putt on the green, you as the ball would roll smoothly along the exact track to the middle of the hole. So if you were Tiger's ball, you had an identity. You would have a very high degree of confidence that you would be right on target. So tonight we're going to go to God's word to see what God wants us to be. And it's not a virtual golf ball, I'll give you that much. So we're going to start out in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and have a few verses here, probably 5 or 6 that I'm going to be reading tonight. So feel free to just sit back and relax, or if you want, look them up and follow along. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 in the King James. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." In the Amplified version of that same verse, "I have been crucified with Christ, that is, in him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith, by adhering to, relying on, and completely trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." And we did hear that in the manifestations as well. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is in us. So the word live here is used 4 times. It's kind of interesting. It's the word zeo. And it, in one of the meanings, among several of them that I thought was pretty cool, is to enjoy real life, or to have a true life and worthy of the name. And so going on, we're going to touch on this be the ball concept or analogy, but it's what God wants us to be. So verse or in Psalm 31 in the Amplified, Psalm 31, verse 24, we're going to be looking at the usages of the word be, B-E, be. And they're all kind of neat, but I guess when I read these, I just thought to myself, you know, it's not you are strong or you're this, you're that. It just says be the ball, be strong. In verse 24 of Psalms 31, be strong and let your hearts take courage. All of you who wait for and confidently expect the Lord. That's the Amplified version. King James says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. See the word, the usage of be there. It's, and hopefully the be the ball thing is kind of resonating with you all. But we're going to keep going through here. Hebrews 13:5 in the King James. Hebrews 13:5, 5b actually. And be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I love the Amplified version. Let your character, your moral essence, your inner nature be free from the love of money. Shun greed, be financially ethical, being content with what you have. For he has said, I will never, under any circumstances, desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless, nor will I forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Pretty cool. Be content. How can you not be content with the words like that from God? So we all know God is our sufficiency that we've learned over the years, and if you haven't, you know, Philippians has some great verses in there. Another thing in Ephesians 3:12 in the King James, it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. So we can be content knowing that God actually wants us to be bold and confident when we access, when we go to his throne of grace. Proverbs 3:26 in the King James. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. So being content is part of, well, being the ball tonight. But it's what God wants us to be. And it's being. It's not you are these things, but it's actually being. It's kind of like hypokatastasis, the figure of speech, where it's really direct. The next verse is Ephesians chapter 1. And in verse 4, King James, according as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Be holy and without blame before him. That's God's heart for us. Be holy, be pure, and without blame before him. You know, throw out all the sin consciousness, all the garbage that the adversary wants to try to mix us up with through the systems of the world. And be holy and without blame before him in love. And, of course, the first part of that, in verse 3, actually, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Because of all that, be holy and without blame before him in love. And the next one is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12 this time, King James. that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And just be to the praise. And when I think about that, I think about verses like Romans 8, verses 32-35. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is it God that justifieth? Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And another verse is Hebrews 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So we're to be the praise, to the praise of his glory. Romans 8:16 is another verse to think about. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And of course, that's referring to speaking in tongues. And it's just a great witness. So be to the praise of his glory. Next verse is in Ephesians as well. So we're going to go to chapter 3, verse 6. King James. So that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and I love this, be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Well, in order to be a fellow heir, you have to be an heir first. So we have all that from God. We've just read about all these great things from Ephesians 1. And so we're heirs first, but we're also fellow heirs. So we're of the same body, be of the same body. And then be partakers of his promise in Christ. So being fellow heirs in the same body is part of our spiritual armor as well. And I'm really blessed. I'm working through Jim Jarrah's The Armor of Victory work that she did. And the verse that pertains to this body of the part of our spiritual armor that has to do with the same body is in Ephesians 6:15. And you all are probably familiar with it. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I know Barney shared on this a number of years ago too, and it really stuck in my heart. But the one body of Christ is our firm foundation so we can carry out the works that God gives us to do. That preparation of the gospel of peace all refers to the one body, that we're all one body, we all have unique functions. There's no separation as far as God is concerned and Jesus Christ is concerned. Any separations or any divisions are all worldly stuff. And this preparation, it's a platform or a firm foundation for us to get out there and do the works that God gives us to do. Another verse that comes to mind about this being fellow heirs is 2 Corinthians 3:18. And I know Ken did a great work on this verse, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so the open face is unveiled face. So if you look in the context there, it's talking about being in God's presence. And when we're in God's presence, we're beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And we're changed. It's not, we are not changing ourselves, but it's being in the presence of God and beholding that Christ in us. That's how the change agent, if you will, and by the Spirit of the Lord. And the thing about this being part of the one body and fellow heirs, that sometimes that glass needs to be polished a little bit. And we can help each other, you know, like when you clean it off, or you take a shower and the mirror's all foggy and everything, and you have to clean a little circle there so you can see yourself. That's what we do in the one body, and we help each other be in the presence of God, help each other to see who we are in Christ. I do want to read an excerpt from Jan's book on the spiritual armor, the armor of victory, and I'm quoting here, "The sure platform on which the soldier stands is the gospel of peace. Of here is used as a genitive of relation and means the gospel which brings peace. This gospel is the good news of Christ, and that all believers are called to be one in Christ." And another excerpt here dealing with the same thing. "When we believe that each person has his own place in the body of Christ, there is no room for offense and jealousy to gain a foothold. We can each be thankful for all we have been given in Christ and stand against any separations caused by the devil. We can refuse to be divided by continuing to forgive others in the body of Christ and by encouraging each person's individual function with Christ as a true leader, as the true leader." So that's be fellow heirs. And then the next one is in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us, and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Be ye therefore followers of God." And I heard that in manifestations as well tonight, where we're the lights, we're the ones that will shed forth his love, we're the ones that walk fearlessly, and a lot of other great attributes of our sonship rights. One verse that I'd like to read in addition that goes along with this, Ephesians 5:1, is Colossians 1:11. And it says, "Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, and to all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness." And so, be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love. Sometimes there's that patience, as we'll see in a minute, and longsuffering with joyfulness. And so I love God's choice of words there, longsuffering. But it's all with joyfulness. And we might think that that's way over our heads, but certainly it's not, given the power of the Holy Spirit, as we saw there in 2 Corinthians 3:18. So the next verse is James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. So the first, in verse 7, it says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." And I like the Amplified version as well. "You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, keep them energized and firmly committed to God, because the coming of the Lord is near." And the next one is in Colossians 3, verse 15, 16. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful." Be ye thankful. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And be thankful. And it also has there the reference to being called in one body. So the fellow heirs thing is evident here, and it's kind of cool how the one body We all work together. We pray, we build each other up, and we don't get divided. We stay put on God's word. And the other way to be thankful is speaking tongues and how important that is. It's vital. In fact, I don't know if you can truly be thankful without knowing how to speak in tongues. But I love this kind of ism that Jan had in another work that she did. And when you add prayer, you subtract distress. So be thankful, whether it's speaking in tongues or prayer with your understanding. And it's not just a superficial thing. It's a heart, being thankful in your heart. And I think that's what speaking in tongues does for you, is it gets into your heart and really helps you grow in that aspect of life. One of the last ones here is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And the last one is James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And so those are some of the usages of be, and I know there's a lot more to being who God wants us to be. But I thought it was kind of cool just to look at those and be the ball. Put yourself out there. Be strong. Be of good courage. Be fellow heirs, and so on and so forth. So thank you so much, Barney, for allowing me to share this. And I love you guys, and God bless.